What's going on, guys? Let's talk Nintendo. So, Mario Kart was released for mobile this week. I believe it's on iOS and Android. I love Mario Kart. I've always loved Mario Kart. One of my favorite games, when I was growing up through my childhood. I've owned almost every Mario Kart that came out ever, up until the Nintendo Switch. So it's a fun game, all right? Play it with one hand, and it's Mario Kart. I mean, you go and you pick items up, and you race people, and you throw shells at them, and it's Mario Kart. It's fun. But there's a pass, a monthly subscription pass for Mario Kart World. It's $4.99 a month, $5. And what does that $5 get you? Well, it gets you access to Mario and some other stuff. I mean, I didn't look too much into it because once I realized that there was a pass that has to be purchased in order to fully enjoy this game, I deleted it. I was just like, you know what? I don't need Mario Kart because it's a grind too. Now, some have made the argument that the reason why Nintendo has decided to go with this platform for a subscription-based platform for the game is because Mario Kart Run, when that came out, the other Mario game that came out, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, on mobile platforms, they charged $9.99. For the entire game, but there were no other DLC microtransaction things in there. It was just the game. $9.99 gave you full access to everything and you keep it. And to be very honest, I didn't buy into it originally at first. I got it when it was on sale, like super dirt cheap on sale on Android. That's when I picked it up because, I mean, realistically, I'm not the type of person to go ahead and spend that kind of money on a mobile game. There are people who will, and I'm not knocking you for that, but mobile games lose my interest too quick for me to spend that kind of bread on. So, I would have preferred to have seen something like that. $4.99, I think, would have been a little bit more reasonable for Mario Kart on mobile. It's a hell of a lot more reasonable than $10. But, you know, whatever, that's what the price is right now. My point is, regardless of who's making the title, regardless of what the title is, you have to kind of be conscious of where you're selling this game. There are people who are going to spend that kind of money on the title because of their love for Nintendo or their love for the Mario franchise in general. But the reality of it is that these developers and these publishers are becoming they're starting to get a little bit egregious with their stuff. You know, loot boxes were bad, DLC is bad to a certain extent, right? Loot boxes, and when I say DLC, I mean the stuff like you pay $6 for an in-game weapon so that way you can beat people up or, you know, win matches and stuff. That's just ridiculous. If you're going to be charging for a game, whether it's $60, $30, $10, give me all the content. I got to use Borderlands 3 as an example here. Borderlands 3 came out and $60 full retail package and you got everything. It's not a live service. It's not pay as you go. There's no pay to win. It's you for $60, you get the looter shooter that started it all. You get a full game with 4 fully fleshed out characters with abilities. You get a 30-hour story. You get all the weapons. There's no paying extra to get anything. You don't have to pay to get any exotics. And to be very, very honest, there really is no grind in this game. You hop in and you play and you do side quests and you do whatever you want, really, and you get rewarded with loot. Yeah, you might have to double back and play or fight a boss again in order to find that one weapon that you want to get, but realistically, I mean, it's fun to do it. And I hate saying it because I am not a big fan of 2K games as a publisher right now, but I have to say that Borderlands is... It hit the nail on the head. Would I call Borderlands Game of the Year? No, it is not Game of the Year. But I would say that it is definitely the most fun I've had with a shooter in a long time. And I think anyone who's a fan of Borderlands in general, or anyone who's picked up the game and been playing it, especially if you're playing with friends, can attest to that. It's a fun game. And I think that's kind of being lost as an art, is developers just making fun games. Now, again, back to Nintendo, this isn't saying that Mario Kart World isn't fun. It is, 100%. It's Mario Kart. I mean, come on. But what they're doing in order to make revenue off of the title is a little bit on the bullshit side. I would have preferred to see them charge one flat fee, maybe even $2. You charge $2, and then if you wanted to have little things in there that you can buy microtransaction-wise, things like different carts, different skins for carts, characters, different themed characters, and then even eventually start rolling out world packages, right? Maybe you pay $4 and you get four new tracks or five new tracks or something along those lines. I think that would have been better than this $4.99 subscription model that you're using, because right off the bat, I mean, I'm not paying $4.99 to play a live service game on a mobile phone. No. My mobile phone is mostly for communication and for business, right? And when it comes down to playing games, it's more of a secondary thing that I'll do. If I'm in a waiting room, I'll fire up Tetris or something like that. I don't want a full-fledged game on my mobile. That's just me personally. There are people out there who play full-fledged RPGs, MOBAs, or whatever on your mobile phone. And for them, hey, if that's your thing, that's great. But yeah, I think Nintendo, you know, your strategy's a little bit off there. Try it out. It's a free download. Like I said, it's available on iOS and it's available on Android. But just be wary that you're going to start the game out as Toad, and then there's going to be a hell of a grind for you to unlock other characters and things like that. Because just in the same way that companies like EA or Ubisoft may kind of paywall things, or even try to make a game grindier and harder and try to force you towards paying for their subscription services or downloading DLC or buying loot boxes, this kind of does the same thing, where eventually you're going to get tired of playing as Bone Bowser or Dry Bowser or whatever they call him, or Toad, and you're going to want to play as Mario, which, by the way, you're going to have to grind. And if you don't feel like grinding, $4.99. So, yeah, that's Mario Kart World. Again, played it. It was fun, but not what I was expecting or hoping for, really, out of a Mario Kart game for mobile. So that one for me is a pass. But check it out. Download it. You might enjoy it more than I did. Next thing really quick, and it's kind of to stay on topic with Nintendo really quick. I wanted to just really briefly, and this is something we've talked about on the podcast before. It's the way that people kind of defend Nintendo. And I get it. Nintendo's, for a lot of us, is our childhood. I know for me it was, you know, my NES was the first gaming console I owned. After that, I went right to SNES. So I get it. Nintendo holds a special place in all of our hearts, but Nintendo should not get passes for certain things. Nintendo is still a business. It's still a game developer, and they still have to do things the right way. I don't own a Switch because I don't see a reason for me to run out and buy a Switch right now. Here's why. There are no games on there that are really speaking to me now in my current mindset as an adult. I'm not saying that the Switch is not a great platform. For what it is, and from what I've played on friends' Switches, it is. It's a fun little platform to have, and it's cool to have your home console with you in your pocket, or, well, not your pocket, but your book bag, or on the go with you, right? But I've gotten to a phase in my life personally where I don't need to run out and buy every Nintendo game anymore. I don't need to. I want the mature titles. And I know this is going to come off me sounding like a real douche, but when I go out to buy games now, just looking at my library, I play the Borderlands, I play the Call of Duties, I play The Last of Us. Mario isn't something that I'm going crazy about anymore. I've never been into Pokemon. And, you know, as far as like all the remakes that are coming to the platform, a lot of these games I have at home, and a lot of these games I have on my PlayStation or, you know, Xbox or whatever the case may be, I don't feel the need to go back and revisit them on the Switch mobile. A lot of these games I wouldn't want to play mobile. I know a lot of people feel differently. Huh, I get to play Doom on the go. I get to play, you know, whatever on the go, and I get it. Yeah, that's great. I don't have that kind of time to dedicate. So if there are people out there who want, you know, I want a Nintendo platform. I guess my point here is the Switch is cool and everything, but what I'm hoping for in Nintendo's next platform is a full-fledged home console, not a portable one. Okay, a full-fledged home console that can compete with Sony and Microsoft's offerings. Then I would buy into Nintendo. Then I would buy into their hardware again. There's something to be said about having a platform at home that can run the games the way that you want them to look, the way that you would want them to run. Could you imagine Mario in 4K? Think about it. Mario in 4K at 60 frames per second. Could you imagine that? That would be glorious. We don't have that right now. And I get it. Nintendo's all about making the quality. It's not about the graphical fidelity, Jason. It's not about that. I get it. I understand. I can already hear the freaking Nintendo lovers and the Pokemon fanboys yelling at me. What I'm saying is the Switch is cool. It's serving its purpose. It's a great platform. From what I've played, it's not my style. And I'm not saying that boycott Nintendo, don't buy their consoles. That is not what I'm saying at all. Go out and support them, of course. I'm in full support of spending money on, you know, these platforms or for these games, giving that, you know, giving back to them, kind of like, hey, thanks for all your hard work. I'm enjoying this thing that you made. Go for it. I'm all for it. What I am saying, however, is maybe Nintendo, put some time into making a true home console. Compete with Sony and Microsoft. I'm pretty sure if Nintendo was to come out with a full-fledged home console with specs similar to a PS5 or an Xbox Scarlet, they would be the number one selling gaming platform in the world right now. Why? Because everyone fucking loves Nintendo. That's all I'm saying. I know I would buy one. I'm all about multi-platform gaming. I'm all about owning every platform. Will I eventually buy a Switch? Most likely. Why? I have 3 kids at home. They're going to want to play it too. They need something to enjoy. And why not a Switch, right? Where else are they going to play Mario? But also, there are a handful of games like Astral Chain. That looks really cool. I wouldn't mind checking that out. I know Bayonetta 3 was a big deal. I would love to check out the new Mario Kart or Mario Odyssey on there. It's just not speaking to me. There's no need, there's no rush for me. I don't feel that urge. Like, man, this is a platform I need to own. In time, maybe Black Friday or something like that. We could pick one up for the kids for Christmas and, you know, but I would love to see Nintendo come out with a full-fledged home gaming console, not a portable one, not one that has any gimmicks or tricks or little Nintendo-y, you know, innovations, because, you know, that's what they do, but one that is, you buy the box, you bring it home, you plug it into your TV, you plug your controller in, no one uses wired remotes anymore, you sync it up, and you play. That's what I want to see. I would love to see that from Nintendo. Is it going to happen? I don't know. Maybe, but realistically, possibly not. That's my little rant about Nintendo. Don't freaking stake me. Don't nail me to, you know, the proverbial cross or anything like that. Just giving my thoughts and opinions. Go out and support Nintendo if you love them. But I think Nintendo, I think it's time for you to make a full-fledged return to the home console market and really come out with something that's going to compete with what Sony and Microsoft have been offering up lately. And I mean, granted, you're talking about development time and putting lots and tons, you know, millions of dollars into R&D and things like that. But if anyone can do it, I feel like it would be Nintendo. And if anything, this is more of me kind of praising them for the fact that they are an innovative company and they are one of the long-running kings of the gaming world. So, you know, I would just really, really get a kick out of being able to play, you know, Borderlands 3, for instance, on a full-fledged Nintendo home console with a great remote and, you know, high-fidelity graphics. And I know you're saying, it, you know, the graphical fidelity isn't everything, but let's be realistic. It kind of is. We're moving into the realm now where, you know, you have all this processing power, all this speed in your games, you know, with all the jumps in technology and what we can expect from the next PlayStation and the next Xbox, these games are going to look gorgeous. They're going to look beautiful. It's going to be, I believe it's going to be the peak of home gaming. The PS4 and the Xbox One have both respectively brought that high definition gaming to home consoles and to console players and made it a little bit more accessible for us who can't go out and build a gaming PC right off the bat, you know, spend $2,000 on a solid gaming PC with a good graphics card. So being able to say that you're going to have these next gen platforms, and a lot of people are like, you know, it's not going to get that much better and they're not going to be anything like what it's like gaming on a gaming PC. And no, it won't be. But the fact of the matter is, for console gamers such as myself, you're going to be able to get the better looking graphics delivered at a smoother frame rate with shorter load times on your home console. That one box that you buy, that's the same as the box that your neighbor bought or that your cousin bought or your best friend bought. And you're going to be able to enjoy the games there. And you're going to be able to, it's going to just be all around more accessible for people to get their hands on these high fidelity, high frame rate titles. And I would love to see Nintendo kind of throw their hat back in the ring and, you know, more or less just say, hey, yeah, we had the Switch and the Wii U, and we know, you know, they weren't graphically great, and when it came to processing power, they weren't the cream of the crop. But fuckers, guess what? We're back. Look at this shit. Nintendo X would be the name of the platform, and it'll have a fucking AMD whatever chip in there and a APU, and it'll have 6 gigs of DDR RAM. Oh, fuck. It would be great. But hey, you know, just a pipe dream, I guess. No pun intended there for Nintendo Mario. Get it? Goes down the pipes. Anyway, yeah, so we're rolling into the holiday season, and normally what that means in the holiday season is lots of sales on games and lots of releases of new big AAA titles. I would like to think that Borderlands is the start of that release window. Borderlands, obviously 2K's fastest selling franchise right now. I think they sold like 5 million copies in a week, digital units in a week. I'm not sure if that's across all platforms or if that's specific to PC or, you know, consoles or whatever, but it's probably a mix of all three. But what I can say is the game is great, and I mean, 5 million, I can see why it's selling that much, because it's a fantastic little fun diversion. You have a date finally for The Last of Us 2. I don't have my notes in front of me. Sorry, I know it's next February. I think it's like the 17th or something like that. Mark it on your calendars. The Last of Us freaking 2. I cannot wait for this game. If you've played The Last of Us 1, the original, whether you played the PS3 version or you played the remaster for the PS4, you should know why this game won Game of the Year when it came out and why this game was the game that changed everyone's outlook on Sony going into the PS4. So, brief history lesson. PS3 was being beat brutally for almost the entirety of its life cycle by the Xbox 360. Why? Microsoft was making exclusive deals. They had contracts set up. They had exclusive content coming. They were working with third parties. and it was an easier platform to develop for all around. So people kind of gravitated, developers kind of gravitated toward the Xbox 360, and they just marketed the shit out of the console. They knew how to sell their console. The Last of Us, now that's not to say that the PS3 didn't have great games. It really did. The PS3 had some gems. The PS3, in my opinion, was a better console than the Xbox 360. Not because it, you know, had more power or anything like that, but because the quality of the first party titles, I believe, were just a little bit better. Your Killzones, and you know, I know a lot of people aren't huge fans of Killzone, but they had some great solid titles on there. I enjoyed playing on my PS3. I had an Xbox 360 as well, and I enjoyed playing on my Xbox 360. I enjoyed the Forza games and Gears of War, but you could kind of see the quality of their titles. And when I say quality, I'm speaking in terms of how good games are, right? Like, high quality games are really good games. But you can kind of see the trend trickling down, where their games on the Xbox 360 side, when they came out with the sequels, you know, they weren't as good as the prior, and it was kind of like, eh. Whereas Sony started to really build a great pipeline of solid first-party titles, and The Last of Us was the last major first-party release for the PS3, and that game sold a shit ton. That game moved a lot of PS3 units, and it built the hype going into the next platform. Now, of course, Microsoft's fuck-up when they originally introduced the Xbox One and announced it with the DRM and the Always Online and all that nonsense played a huge role in the Xbox One sucking ass, you know, in the first couple years of its release. But Sony kind of kept true to their, what, you know, what they've started building with the PS3, really with the PS2, you know, if you really want to pick hears, but you started to see these high quality first party titles. Sony realized with The Last of Us that, hey, we don't give a damn about the multiplayer. We don't give a damn about, you know, these fancy smanchy, you know, once a year rotating titles. Let's give quality games, and that's what they did with the PS4. And Microsoft now is starting to do that with the Xbox One. So I think going into the next cycle, the next generation, we're going to get great games on both consoles. I really think that it's going to be a close battle sales-wise for these platforms. And it's just going to come down to what exclusive titles you want to play and where do you want to play them. I think Sony might still have an advantage, mainly because if you want to play God of War, the next Spider-Man game, The Last of Us 3, Uncharted 6, whatever the fuck their exclusive titles are going to be, you have to buy a PlayStation. You're going to have to play on the PlayStation. A lot of people criticize that, and they're like, well, play anywhere kind of thing that Microsoft is doing. I'm able to play on PC. It's like, no. Listen, I'm all about everyone going out and being able to play whatever game they want and enjoy it and blah, 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 right? This is the thing. If I own a business, I want to have something that's going to draw you towards whatever my business is. And that's what Sony's doing. Okay? Yeah, they're a little bit stubborn when it comes to certain things, like, for instance, the cross-platform gaming. Sony, come on, get the dick out of your ass and just allow it. Just be a part of it. Allow it all around. Cross-platform gaming is a good thing. It's not going to deter people from buying your platform. If anything, it'll be a selling point, okay? So for those people out there who only play games like Call of Duty or Madden but want to play on the PlayStation, and they have a bunch of friends on Xbox that they want to play with, or PC, guess what? You can play cross-platform. Really? So I guess I can still go and pick up my PlayStation and play with my friends. Common sense, right? But, you know, in terms of first-party titles being released on multiple platforms, you know, like PC and things of that nature, I think that Sony's doing the right thing by keeping their first-party games exclusively to the PlayStation. because that's what's going to draw you towards the PlayStation. That's what's going to move units for them. It's a business at the end of the day. Stop getting butthurt, gamers. You know, we want everything and we want it now. We want the convenience of it and we want XYZ, blah, blah, blah. But put yourself in the shoes of that business owner. Put yourself in the shoes of a guy who owns a major gaming company. You have your own gaming console. And the only way that you're going to get people to come out and pick up your console with as competitive as a market as we're in right now is by you having that exclusive stuff that you can't get anywhere else. Because realistically, why if I have a gaming PC, right? Or if I, you know, build a gaming PC or buy a gaming PC, whatever, and I have the opportunity to go out and buy Forza Horizon 3 or 4 or whatever number they're up to right now and play it on my PC at a higher fidelity, cleaner frame rate, all right, on my PC for the same price or less, why wouldn't I do that instead of going out and buying an Xbox to play it? Because you gave me that option. Yeah, I can't get it on PlayStation, but I can get it on PC. And granted, yeah, Microsoft is still making money off of it. But the thing is, you're not moving your console at that point. So now you just have this box that's sitting around and it's only good to be, you know, for certain titles that aren't being released on PC. And right now, there's not a lot that aren't being released on PC. Pretty much everything that comes to console comes to PC with the exception of first-party titles from Sony and Nintendo. So realistically, I believe Sony and Nintendo have the right idea. Keep pumping out your first-party exclusives that you can only get on your platform. It makes fucking sense, people. Come on, okay? Yeah, you have to go out and buy that box in order to play that game, but guess fucking what? You have a shit ton of other games that you can also play on that platform. So let's not make this a greed thing. Let's not try to make this seem like Sony's being greedy. Sony's being smart at the end of the day. And I'm not knocking Microsoft for what they're doing. That's their game plan. And at the end of the day, Microsoft has a bigger stake in PC platforms than any of the other two companies does because it's fucking Microsoft. I mean, hello, Microsoft, Windows, PC, it all kind of goes together. But realistically, as in terms of console gaming, it makes sense to keep your exclusive titles exclusive to your platform. It only makes sense, guys. But yeah, that's been my little rant for the day as I drive into this place I call work. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for Dummies Podcast. We are available wherever podcasts are available. Give us a listen. We're building a little following here, and we want you to be a part of the crew. We want you to be a dummy too. All right. Hey, thanks for listening. This has been the Travel Cast, That Guy JR, the Four Dummies Podcast, the only podcast for dummies by dummies. Peace.